Thanks for joining us, and welcome to the Stonebridge Church Podcast. Here at Stonebridge, our goal is to lead people into a real, healthy, and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to join us live, we hold services every Sunday at 9:30 and 11:05 at 1 Stonebridge Church Drive in the Woodlands, Texas. You can also stream our services online on our website, on our YouTube channel, and our church app. We invite you to check out our website at GoStonebridge.com and give us a like on Facebook at Facebook.com/GoStonebridge.
All right, good morning. I'm sporting the old Santa Claus look, just to let you know, so I'm sure I'll get somebody to ask me about that. I lost my razor, so I'll find it later on, or you can give me one of your old ones or something like that. We're starting a new series. You picked it up. It says, I Want to Believe, But, and that could throw you a little bit, because you might look at this series and say, okay, this series is aimed at those people who do not believe and are not, you know, would not call themselves a Christian, are not sure there is a God or that you can have a relationship with God. And so we're sort of aiming at those, and you would be right to an extent. But we're also starting a new small group curriculum, and it's called A Skeptic's Guide to Faith Conversations. And that was actually the original title of all this, and then we came up with this other title because of our 1488 banner. And also, if you think about the second conversation or the second title, you'll see that the conversations are really aimed at believers and people who have a relationship with God or believe in God, and they realize how much more they need to deepen those conversations and that relationship with God. And it came out of the idea, as we were looking in the Gospels and looking at Jesus' life, how many conversations he had. How many times he met with people who were either like him, they were Jewish, they were in his area. He met with fishermen. Jesus was not a fisherman. He met, you know, with a tax collector and had a conversation with him. He met with a religious leader, a Pharisee, had a conversation with him. He met with a woman in Samaria who was nothing like him at all, not even of exactly the same faith. He met with those who were Romans and who were not Jewish at all. And there are all these conversations that Jesus had and that went on that has something to do with us understanding just how important it is, just how important it is to have a conversation and a relationship with God himself. And that's actually why Jesus came, so that they could understand, look, you can have a relationship with God. God wants to know you. God wants to speak to you, and God wants to hear from you. You know, KSBJ made it very popular with their billboard, and they've hung onto it for a long time with just two words, and they said, God what? Yeah, he does. And the reason God listens is because this is absolutely lined up with God's desire to know us and for us to know him, because we were built for that relationship. So during this series, I'm going to be pushing. We have new small groups that are starting. They'll start in 2 weeks, and then it's a 6-week series going through this small group curriculum called A Skeptic's Guide to Faith Conversations. And we're going to be talking about why we believe you should believe, and why we believe that if you're a believer, you should grow and you should strengthen your relationship with God. And if you're not a believer, maybe you really are here and you say, I'm just checking things out. It's a new year. I need some changes in my life. And I realize if I don't make some changes, I'm not going to end up where I want to be or in a good place in my life. And I realize that there's an emptiness or there's something missing in my life. I need something more. And it's a good time for you to latch on and for you to begin a conversation, not only with God, but the reason we do the small groups is it will help you if you have a relationship, a conversation with other people, right? And you begin to talk with other people who maybe have a relationship with God, who have investigated some of the same things that you realize that you need to dig into and to investigate. You see, one of the things that is evident for all of us is that we were made for conversations. Even the most quiet person here, even though you say, but you don't know me, I don't like to talk to anybody, you were still made for conversations. In fact, one of the things I ask people when they tell me, they say, well, I don't really like to talk with anyone. I'm nervous in a crowd, or if I get around other people, I tell them, but you have conversations all the time. They say, no, you don't. I said, in here you do, right? Don't you have conversations in here all the time? Where you're talking in your head, you're talking to yourself. In fact, in some ways, these conversations are your most successful conversations. They're the easiest. Because you can manipulate these conversations. You can decide my side always wins, or my logic always wins. It's sort of like when I was a kid playing a basketball out in the driveway by myself, and it was wonderful because I could always fix it so that I won. You do something like that? You know, I'm going down, I'm doing the countdown. 5, 4, we're down by 1. He moves around, he takes his 3, 2, he takes the shot, and it's okay, reset. And he moves around, 5, 4, 3, okay, and you keep doing it until finally you make it and you win. And those kind of conversations we love. These kind of conversations are a lot more difficult because you're engaging someone else in someone else's ideas, and someone may agree with you, someone may not agree with you, and it's the same way with God. You get in this conversation with God, and you have to be honest, and you have to realize, you know, I may not always agree with God. He might not always agree with me, but that's the point of this conversation, is that God, from His perspective, can speak to me and talk to me of things that He knows, and I don't know what I'm talking about, but I like to think that I do, and I like to think that I'm in control and it'll work out my way, and God instead, you know, sometimes He teaches us, okay, there's a better way, because the way that I'm going to teach you is actually the way that it is going to work out, so you do a lot better if you sort of aligned your life with that way, because He's God. The wonderful thing about it is He wants to have that conversation with you. He wants to. I know that whenever we talk about the Bible, or we talk about, and one of the things I'm going to get into this morning, we talk about the law or the precepts of God or the commandments of God. There's a wonderful psalm, Psalm 19 in the Old Testament. So if you go in the middle of your Bible, you can just sort of open it up, and right about in the middle, you'll find the Psalms, and you go to Psalm 19, and the psalmist speaks of God's words to us. His speaking to us, this conversation that God wants to have with us. And that's actually what the Bible is. It has a lot of history, a lot of information, but what it reveals is that God wants this conversation to us. And in Psalm 19, I think it's verse 7 through 11, it describes God's words, His conversation to us, and the benefit that it has for us. Why you want to jump into this? Why it's not just a list of do's and don'ts, but it's God actually instructing us and talking to us and trying to guide us so that we can navigate through life and we can figure out what answers are and figure out which way to go. And all this is God being very real and open and honest with us, but also being very much like a heavenly Father that watches after us, that wants to draw us to Himself. And in the midst of that relationship and drawing us to Himself, He wants to lead us and to guide us into the life that God had prepared for us, that He had planned that you and I would have. I think conversations are key. I don't think you can get away from the fact that how much you need and how much I need conversations in our lives. And even when you look at God and you look at who God is, conversation is key as far as God is concerned with people. Isaiah, he records that that God asked this question. I always love this verse. In fact, you know, it's been made into songs before, which is a really good way to remember. But he says, God says, come, let us reason together. That's a great word, isn't it? That God would invite you and say, come, let's figure this out together. Come to me, listen to me, yes, speak to me. Let's have this dialogue and this conversation so that we can figure out the things of life together. And I want you to think about it, how much your conversations, how much the conversations in life for you have made a difference in your life. I put this in your outline. I guess it'll pop up on here. I don't know. We had trouble. Okay, yeah. Go to the next one. Let's talk about conversations that change us. So words lead us to some things, right, in the conversation? Words lead us to, here you go, words lead to ideas. You know, all of a sudden there's a new concept, a new thought in your mind. And those ideas often lead to, there you go, to dreams. Yeah, so this is possible. This could happen. What if? And all of a sudden there's a new area of your whole thinking, your brain that is ignited, and you start thinking about what could be and the possibilities of what God might have for you. And then dreams can often lead to, here we go, the next one, dreams lead to, there it is, actions or destinies. Now, there's a difference in a destination and a destiny, right? If you look it up in the dictionary, you'll see that the word destiny has a lot more to do with where ultimately it has been pre-described that you would end up. When people speak of, well, I think that's your destiny, or this is my destiny, they mean I did not know it, but that's where I was going to end up in life. Destination is something usually that you aim at and you decide that's where I'm going to go. But destiny has so much more to do with God's plan and who God is, but it always has to do with your choices. Always in the Bible has to do with your choices. God has plans. God has destinies. He has ideas. He will work out and act upon his own desires and his own decisions, but he calls us into this opportunity to join with him. As a young man in my college years, you know, I was looking for direction, trying to decide which way I was going to go. And conversations, just let you know, matter, because, you know, in my college years, all of a sudden girls become really important. Guys, you remember those days? Wives, okay, you remember those days when he thought it was important. And so, you know, girls become really important. And there was this girl I was attracted to. I there was just something about her. I was so attracted to this girl. My friends, you know, who realized that I was, they said, here's what you should do. You should go and what? Answer this one. You should go and talk to her. Exactly. Have a conversation. You can't just be attracted to someone and have some ideas and some dreams and not act upon them. You need to go and talk with her. So I did. We went out and I talked. And here's what I realized. As attracted to her as I was, when we got into conversation, there was absolutely no connection. No connection at all. And it was really good for me, because the attraction that I had to her, immediately I realized it's not going to work out. I know that probably some people here are saying, what? It's not? That's my problem? Yeah, there has to be, you can laugh at that. There has to be some sort of connection in ideas and what we talk about and what we believe and where we're headed. You have to have the ability to have conversations and talk together. And I understand that as we get older, somehow those conversations sometimes kind of, you know, they kind of pass. They kind of move on. And all of a sudden, you know, all the things that we were going to chase, we've already chased and we've lost it. Listen, this is where your conversation with God becomes even more important. Because God has plans. And God has plans for you. And God understands what you need. And God does not intend to just leave us always in a situation where we're bored and we don't know where it's going to go next and we kind of chased a dream and then we thought there are no more dreams. Listen, God is ready to move with you and with us always into the next stage, into the next chapter, because God is involved in the relationship and in the conversations of life. I was so glad that I had this conversation with this girl, because later in my life I met my wife, Joni, and Joni will say, "Hey, don't say you weren't attracted to me," because she and I won't say that. There's no doubt, but when I met her, I was already serving on a church staff, and I cheated. I looked her up in the church information. There was no Privacy Act at that time that prevented me from doing that. And so I was working with single adults, and they had entered, I guess, maybe she didn't give the year of her birth, and so they put one in there, and it said that she was a lot older than she actually was. In fact, I was amazed. I was like, wow, she looks a lot younger than that when I looked her up. But it's a true story. But I said, okay, she's not for me because she's too much older, you know, than me. I mean, she's a couple of years older than I am. I can't go out with someone old like that, you know. And also, she hung out with some other girls that were in an older age group. And so I thought, well, I guess that makes sense. In fact, one of those ladies actually works at Texas A&M, still a really good friend. We see her all the time, and is still one of Joni's really good friends. And so I kind of put all those things together. But here's what happened. As I got to know her and as I got to meet her at church, guess what? I love the conversations. I love talking to her. I love the direction of her life. And so even though she was older than me, could not be for me, you know, I had to have a reputation to hold up, I still decided to go meet with her and do some things. We went and played tennis at Rice University. We went down to the tennis courts at Rice. Somehow we got on. I have no idea. You know, but we got on there, and she had on this tennis outfit. And so I'm not going to tell you I was not attracted. I was absolutely attracted to her, but she will tell you, if you get her to be honest, you ask my wife, she will tell you when she saw me in my tennis outfit, oh yeah, the deal was done, you know, so absolutely. We started having conversations. We started talking, because what you realize as you get, you know, as you go through some of those initial attractions and everything in life is how much conversation matters. How much thinking matters, how much what's going on in here matters so much more, you know, than the other things that go on in here sometimes that we realize are just not nearly as important or as long-term or as lasting in our lives. Listen, it's the same way in your relationship with God. You might say, well, I'm just not attracted to the idea of God. It was because you don't understand who God is, and you've never jumped in. And you never decided to pursue a relationship with God. It's not boring. It's not just, you know, somehow just a static or academic. And if you get around people that have a relationship with God and this becomes a vital part of their life, you will notice there's something energizing about their relationship with God that you realize, and it's a really good thing when you realize it. It happened to me. You realize, boy, I would really like that. I would really like that. One of the a man that's become a really good friend of mine in the church. He's a few years older than I am, but as I would ask him I've asked him before about, you know, his becoming a Christian and what is it that attracted him, because I love to ask that question. Whatever's attracted you to a relationship to Christ, he would say, I met some people and they had something that I didn't have. Yeah. They had something that I didn't have. And he realized how much he wanted what they had. He wanted that relationship. And his relationship with them spurred him on to say, you know, I want a relationship with God. And he learned so much from having a relationship with them and conversations with them about this relationship and the conversations that he could have with God. And now I can tell you, because I'm around him a lot, he's one of those guys that when you're around him, you say, he has something that I don't have. And he has something that I want. He has something that's real. It matters. It counts. It's worth pursuing in life. So this is why I put in your outline before we look in the verses in there, that words, conversations, absolutely, they can begin something, and words and conversations can become something. Actually, they not only begin something and become something, they are the primary motivator and the primary energy and the primary life to make those things actually take place. So this is our kind of introduction into this. Let me go to a couple of verses with you. In John chapter number 1, if you know, John kind of gives his beginning story in his gospel. John is the one who is the closest to Jesus. He is loved by Jesus. And John actually, as he goes back and he tries to put this together, he says this in John 1:1. If you know these verses, you can read them or look at them with me together. He says this: in the beginning, the Word already existed. Isn't that interesting that he would use that? It's a word for logos. It's this idea. The other translations a lot of times will say, in the beginning was the what? The Word, yeah. The Word is the conversation, but it is the creator and the igniter. In fact, he goes on to say, the Word was with God, and the Word was what? Yes. My goodness. And you can go through his whole introduction. He talks so much about how this changes everything. Eventually, he will say, and the Word became flesh and blood and lived among us. Yeah, it became a part of our lives. That is exactly the point. It's exactly what God wanted to do. Here's in Matthew chapter 4, look at this verse. In fact, this is an interesting verse because Matthew tells the story of when Jesus actually goes and has a conversation with Satan. He has a conversation with the devil. And it's a conversation that he was led to, that the Holy Spirit of God leads him speaks to him in some way to go out into the wilderness. And after 40 days of fasting, he has this conversation. It is a testing in Jesus' life. And the enemy, Satan, will come after him and try to have a conversation with him to lead him away from a relationship with God. Lead him away from what he came to do. Lead him away from a life of following and trusting God. Now, it's important you understand, not every conversation is going to be productive in your life, right? In fact, if you're raising kids, I'm sure that there's some people here raising kids, you understand that. And so what do you do with your young kids in their conversations? You protect them. You shield them in those conversations. I still remember when Jordan comes home as a little boy, and he used some words that just absolutely stunned us, and once we got up off the floor and recovered our consciousness, we said, what? And then he said it again, and we were on the floor again and said, okay, don't say it again, but where did you learn that from? And he learned it, when we find out where he learned it from, we said, you can't go there anymore. You can't do that anymore, because these are conversations or words that this stage in life, we don't want you to repeat those things. And we don't want, because he's asking, like, what does this mean? We're like, you don't want to know, So it's one of those things, you protect them. But as your kids get older, what do? You prepare them. You have to. Because there are going to be conversations that they're going to have with those who are against them, who would lead them toward the things that are not of God and the things that are not going to last. They're not the things that you want for your children. And you have to begin to prepare them for those conversations, because you realize you cannot just shelter them physically forever and turn off their ears, forever. So instead, you want to get into a conversation where you help them in their thinking, in their mind, decide what's good, what's profitable, what lasts, and I want to chase those relationships. So Jesus goes and he has this conversation with the enemy, with Satan. And Satan tries to tempt him to use his own relationship with God in a way that only benefits himself. And here's how one of the ways that he answers, which I love it. He says in Matthew 4, verse number 4, he says, but Jesus told him, no, the scriptures, that means the things that God has spoken to us, the things that God converses with us about. The scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every, say it with me, by every what? Word that comes from the mouth of God. We live by this conversation with God and the things that God says. And the things that God says are not just some principles and some rules. They are certainly in there. The things that God says give life. They give freedom. They give purpose. They give direction. The things that God says actually make relationships with people come to life, even in struggling relationships. The things that God says actually protect us from wrong thinking, from getting confused in life, because God himself can be trusted that God will lead us toward the things that really matter, that really count in life. Look, here's another passage. I put it in your outline. I'm going to have to look at this. This is Matthew chapter number 7, because here's what Jesus says. He's talking to his disciples, and here's what he says to them. He says, keep on, say this with me, keep on what? Keep on asking. Yeah, this is a conversation. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who, what? Everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be open. And then he gives this wonderful illustration of using parents and children. And he says in the next verse, verse 9, you parents, if your child asks for a loaf of bread, because he's speaking to the parents, not to the children. He's trying to convince them and get them to think about how they treat their children. If they ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Well, of course not. Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Well, that would be foolish, right? Of course not. So if sinful people, that means people who make a lot of mistakes and we don't know the right way all the time, if sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who do what? Who ask him, yeah. Who have a conversation with him, who spend time with him. and say, God, here's what I think I need. Here's what I'm looking for. And you have this conversation, and you're seeking God, and you're knocking, and you're asking. And what he says is, in that relationship and those conversations, will God withhold from you? No. He rescued us, Paul says. He gave his son to die for us and give his life for us. He says, how will he not also give us all things pertaining to life and to what is good? Of course not. This is not the God that we understand. Now, does God correct? Sure, he does. Does God warn? Of course he does. But does God give us bad things or try to hurt? No, we understand. That's not our Heavenly Father. That's not who he is. He gives us good things. So he's encouraging. Jesus is encouraging. Knock, seek, ask. My goodness, why wouldn't you do this? Why wouldn't this be a part of your life? But here's the reality. Here's the reality. Even for many of us who call ourselves Christians, it's not a reality of our lives. We kind of grow old and cold to doing this. We take too many things for granted, and we somehow forget that God is not finished with our lives. God has more for our lives, more direction, more wisdom, more conversation, more compassion, more truth that is there for us. And God wants us to seek him and to ask it. But so how will God speak to us? This is a question. How will God speak to us if we don't seek him out to listen? I'm not saying that God doesn't speak. He does. But we tend to hear what we want to hear. We tend to listen for what we want to listen for. So if there's not a desire in our heart and a willingness and an action in our life to pursue God and say, God, I want to know, I want you to speak to me, then often what happens is we fail to hear from God. It's not God's desire. It's just our habit and the hole, the ditch that we fall into that we miss that relationship. See, I think when you get up in the morning, it's a good idea to pick up your Bible and to read from your Bible, but to do this when you do. Say, God, is there a conversation you'd like to have with me? Is there something that you would like to say to me? Because I would love to hear from you. And I would love to be able to sit and speak to you and listen to you in this relationship. And I know that you think, well, who am I to be able to ask something like this? Well, that would be true if it were not for the life of Jesus and what Jesus did. Because Jesus came to say, yeah, that's exactly what he wants from you. It's exactly why he came and he gave his life, so that you would keep asking, so that you would keep knocking, so that you would keep seeking, knowing that God is willing and he is very capable of speaking to us and dealing with us. It doesn't mean you look at God and you take advantage of God. It doesn't mean that you say, God, here's what I want, and God just gives you everything you want. Doesn't mean that God becomes, you know, some sort of a genie or some sort of, you know, rich uncle that just wants to spoil you. You know, instead, God wants to prepare you. He wants to build good things into you. He's trying to make your life into something that is important and very special to him and that fits in his plan. But that is what God wants to do. But God waits for us to seek after him. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, God says this, if you seek for me with all your, say it with me, all your what? All your heart, right? He says, then you will find me. Yeah. If that's your desire, if that's what you want, if that's what you've decided to pursue, listen, God is like, then that's exactly what I will do for you. That's exactly what I will give you. This relationship that will change you. And what it does is it changes you in here. Something is entirely different in here. You still have to live your life. You still have to go through, you know, your normal days and the things that you go through. But something ignites. Something comes alive in here because Jesus is life. And the words that he speaks, those bring life. Just like in my marriage with my wife, Joni, even today, we speak, and those words that we speak to each other convey something. They're part of the life of our relationship. And if we were to neglect that and we were not to speak anymore, you know what we would do? When you stop speaking, you know what you start doing? You start speculating. Well, this must be what they're thinking. This must be what's going through their head, even though you have no idea because you haven't spoken with that person. And so God is not interested in you speculating about God. God is interested in a relationship where you know what God wants, where God speaks to you, where you listen. You're not there to manipulate God. You're there to learn from God. You're there to be directed by God. You're there because God wants to give you a plan and, yes, a destination, and for you to realize that there is a destiny that he has for your life. Here we go. Here's another passage in John's Gospel, and this is in the sixth chapter, and I would encourage you, if you want to read a pretty moving and maybe catch you off guard chapter, read the sixth chapter of John, because in this chapter, there are a lot of things that go on. They realize, you know, just how powerful Jesus is, and they decide he's going to be our new Messiah. You might say, well, that's a good thing. Actually, it wasn't a good thing, because they had ideas of what that meant for them. And of course, they were thinking of, you know, overthrow Rome and fix everything the way we want it fixed. And Jesus actually walks away from that and hides himself from that. And the reason is because Jesus did not need us as people to make him who he is. He didn't need us to become a king. He already was. And it was his design, not our design, that he came to actually work out in life. And so Jesus, in this chapter, there's a whole lot of conversation where Jesus begins to tell them the truth about the way things are in a way that they actually don't like it. In fact, one of the most amazing verses, it might even throw you, you may think, are you sure this is in the Bible? Here's what it says, John 6, verse 6. Okay, so just see if anybody reacts to that. John 6:6-6, here's what it says. At this point, many of his, say it with me, many of his disciples did what? They turned away and deserted him. Now, this is not the 12, because then he addresses the 12. But he's talking about many of those people who were, because a disciple was someone who followed and learned and listened. And many of those who did not like the answers that he was giving them. They didn't like those answers. I know you think, well, I don't know about that, because how can that be? Well, later on, Jesus even says to the 12, did I not pick you? You didn't pick me, I picked you. And one of you, he says, and one of you is the devil. And he's talking about Judas Iscariot would be his betrayer. So he's trying to help them through this, to understand this is a part of life, this is the way it works, and you still have to choose, even when you don't like the answers that I'm giving you, whether or not you will trust me and understand that I have the very best for you. So then it says in verse 67, it says, then Jesus turned to the 12 and he asked this. I love this question. He says, are you also going to leave? Do you also want to walk away? Have you decided that this is not what you were looking for, not what you wanted, so therefore you will walk away and try to find someone else or something else that will give you what you want? And then look at this answer. This is just the most incredible answer that Peter gives. This is Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? If we were to walk away from you, where would we go? And he gives his reason why. You have, catch this, you have the words that give eternal what? Life. You have the words of life. There's no one that speaks like you. There's no one that has done the things that you do. You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know that you are, and it's an unusual that he uses this title, because this is a very divine, lofty, the one who came down from heaven. You are the Holy One of God. So this is Peter recognizing something about who Jesus is and realizing we can't walk away. That would be the most foolish thing we could possibly do. Walk away to what? Walk away to whom? Walk away to where? The one who gives life, he gives words, living words, life-giving words. Who would we walk away to? I love this conversation. I love how he says this, because this is his desire that they would catch it. And of course, then those men and women who did catch it and didn't believe, they become the ones who really radically change the world over the next generations. Psalm 1, I'm going to finish with this one. This is kind of where I started a long time ago when I was dealing with this. I love Psalm 1, and I like it because it's a picture, it's a word picture, but it's one of those that if you look at it, so much of it has to deal with conversation that goes on. And so this is how he starts it. He says, blessed, and that would mean, you know, you're going to really be happy if you do these things. Blessed, it'll pop up on the screen there. Maybe, there it goes. How blessed is the man, catch this, and they're all negatives in the first verse. How blessed is the man who does not, say it with me, walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor what? Stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Now, if you think about it, especially when he gets to the scoffers, this is all about conversations. When you walk in the path or the way of those who are not doing the right thing, there's something in the conversation that is kind of intriguing. You know, there's something about being the bad guy, right? Everybody's playing by the rules. We're not going to play by the rules. We're going to do something different. And there's something that's just absolutely drawing or intoxicating about being there and standing there and criticizing and saying things about other people. And eventually, he draws this as a pattern. That's what happens. And then the attraction of that kind of draws you to where you're standing around. You find yourself standing around with these types of conversations all the time. Eventually, you find yourself sitting, kind of like sitting at the city gate, the important place, and you just scoff and you mock at everything that is good and everything that matters. And there's something that's just kind of arrogant about that and makes you feel like, yeah, I don't mind just kind of, you know, tearing down everything. There's something intoxicating about that conversation. I think that's important because I think if you and I are honest with ourselves, we are drawn to those things sometimes. But all of a sudden, we wake up, and we should, and realize, where is this going to go? Where does this end? I'm not saying that we're not drawn to it. As people, we are. There's a side of us that is drawn to it. But there needs to be this other side of us that kind of wakes up and says, do you really want to go down this path? Is this really the destination that you want to find your life moving toward? Because then he makes this change in the next verse. Look at the next verse. He says in verse number 2, but his delight, so the one who doesn't do these things is going to say, man, my life is really blessed that I did not, you know, spend my life in that place and following those conversations. But his delight, catch this, is in the what? In the, now if you want to write down again, which I think absolutely applies, his delight is in the words of the Lord or in the conversation of the Lord, in the law of the Lord. Because that's what it means. Like I said, sometimes we turn this into a negative thing. It's not a negative thing as far as the psalmist is concerned and the writers are concerned. In fact, there's this one place later in the history of Israel where the city has been torn down, Jerusalem, and the temple's been torn down, and they come back and they start to rebuild. And there's this one place where all of a sudden, in going through the rubble and trying to rebuild, they find the law of the Lord, as if it had been lost and they did not read it anymore and they did not understand it anymore. And they find the law of the Lord and the whole nation gathers together and begins to cry and to weep. And they take it and they read through the whole thing to the public hearing of everyone. And there's not only weeping, now there is rejoicing. And you have to stop and say, and what, why? Because what this says to them is God still speaks. God still has conversation. They found the words and the conversation that God had with them, and God still wanted to speak to them. God still had a relationship with them. And when they had lost that, it leaves them in a bad place. It leaves them in despair. It leaves them in the path of the sinners and the scoffers and sitting with those who are negative and just critical about everything. And oh yeah, right, God's gonna, I mean, it takes them from that. It fills them with hope, with meaning, with purpose, because God still speaks to us. God still speaks. So he says, and their delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, in his words, in this conversation, they meditate day and night. They think about the things that God has said to them. When they speak to God and he answers, they think through those things, why he is saying those things and what they mean. And then he gives this word picture of a description of a tree. He says, so this is what they will be like. Then they will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. And streams of water are what nourish them. Remember, it is everybody lives by the word of God. It comes to them. It feeds them. It gives them hope. It moves them forward, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. And I love this part. I know you like this part too. And in everything he does, that person, he does what? He prospers. Yes. That's why you need the conversation with God. Because in that conversation, God prospers us. We're drawn away from what feels good, those things that just kind of attract us, conversations, because we realize they're not the best. They're not the most important. They will not lead us in the right place. And then we're drawn to God and something happens to us. You know, in this picture of the tree and its leaf does not wither, that means there's something about our lives, just like there was something about Jesus' life. It yields its fruit in its season. When a tree yields its fruit, it's not just for the tree, it's for those around it. You know, all of a sudden there's a different conversation that we have in the world, and a different way that we approach things than we approached them before, all because of this conversation that we had with God. And then we realize, yes, and in everything that we do, in every place that we are, it doesn't mean prosper in the sense that you have everything that you want and you're the richest and the best looking and and the most powerful and you're married, to the best person there is. I already did that. And so, it doesn't, but you realize, wow, God is leading me. God has purpose and plan in this. Yes, there is something special and remarkable about my life and where God has placed me and in the path of the people that he's placed me in and in the choices that he is teaching me to make, that my life would be attached to God and it would prosper because God is the one who prospers that life, leads that life, guides that life, fills that life, uses that life in the lives of other people. How are your conversations? What's the priority of your conversations? Is this relationship to people who can encourage you, is that a priority in your life? People that you're around and you know where they're headed and you see the life that is in them and you say, boy, what they have, I want to be around them. I want to learn from them. How about your conversation with God? When you take the Bible and you read it, do you just read it to come up with some information? Or, as I say, when I grew up, I was taught to read 3 chapters a day. But I just read the 3 chapters a day just to read them, just to get through them. It was my duty. But later I began to learn, because I was around people who did this, I can read the Bible for conversation with God. God does want to speak, and he does speak through his word to me. And it changes me, because God teaches me what my life is supposed to be about, what I should pursue. He corrects me at times. He challenges me in attitudes and in things in my life and says, wait a minute, is that really a reflection of this conversation that we have all the time? Well, no, and I'm not going to neglect that conversation, because God wants to change me on the inside. I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray for your relationships, for your small groups, if you're in one, not in one, for your relationship with God. And the reason is because I believe even in prayers we do this, that the words matter. And I hope that my words matter, but more than anything else, I really hope that in this also you begin to hear from God himself and realize those words are the most life-giving words that anyone could possibly experience. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You have plans for us. And sometimes it's hard for us to believe that as we look at our lives and the things that we go through life, because we don't like the struggles of life. We don't like those who challenge us. Sometimes, Lord, to be honest, some of us in here, we've been led in a direction that's not the right direction, because we've been in conversation and we've lingered and we've delayed and we've held on to words and conversations that we should not have. But Lord, the wonderful news that you share with us is you want to change that. And in doing that, you want to change our lives and who we are and what our lives mean, even in this world. So God, I just speak over all of us in here and ask that you would speak to us, that you would become more real to us. God, would you give us a new desire to know you and to be around people who do know you so that we can learn from you and so that we can be so much better equipped as we live in the world, to deal with the things that we will face. Lord, I pray that for the people in this room that you would bless them. You would bless them with knowledge of you. You would bless them with your words. God, that you would bless them with the relationship of a father with a son and with a daughter. And God, I pray that you would speak truth into their lives and that that truth would find a place to land and to root, and that it would grow and it would build something, and that you would speak compassion into their lives and mercy and grace, which comes from you, into their lives, so that their lives would be enriched, that they would be fertilized and watered by a new love from who you are, that they could then share and speak and act out in the world around us. If you're here this morning, you've never put your hope and your trust in the one that God sent, in Jesus Christ, to change everything. It does take belief. It does take faith. It is a struggle sometimes in this world. But God has sent him so that your life would be different, so that as you live your life, the impact of your life would be different. So, dear Lord, thank you for sending your son. Jesus, come live in my heart. Fill me with a new spirit, a new life inside of me that grows, it fills me, and that would overflow into others around me as I pray in Jesus' name.